You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome in then to the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Don Hutchinson, Nader Manua with us as well, as is Stevie Nicol. Today, of course, saw the conclusion of Group A in the European Championship. Let's take you through Italy against Wales. Mancini making 8 changes to the side that won in their previous 2 matches. Let's take you through exactly how they got it done today. 6 minutes before the break, Pessina making it 1-0.
It's a good finish, but it's bad marking. Good little ball in from Verratti, went quite low. Everyone was expecting to go high, but Wales and Robert Page will be devastated at the lack of marking there. Just ran across Morel there far too easy. There's no front screen, but a clever finish.
Into the second half, Italy looking to extend their lead. Benedeschi with the opportunity off the post.
Yeah, it's a good free kick. I think it went through a few bodies. It was hard for a keeper to see, but you know, he's a bit unlucky there. Maybe next time we'll get it.
Moments later, Wales down to 10 men. Ampadu showing a straight red, Stevie.
Not a red card in a million years. It's a yellow card, yes. But to give a straight red for stamping on somebody with a challenge that is just... I mean, it's mistimed, but not that badly. And it's on his foot. It's a yellow all day, not a red.
Wales offered very little going forward. This is their best chance, falling to Gareth Bale.
Unlike him, to go for power there, especially on his left foot. I just wonder if he had that one back again. You know, he got the flight of the ball well enough. I just wanted to go with his instep there, blazed it well over the bar.
Italy then making it 3 wins out of 3. They will top the group. Wales, meanwhile, finishing second. Italy, 100% and looking good so far this competition. Well, just a reminder, ESPN FC on ESPN Plus is presented by AT&T 5G as we welcome in Gab Marcotti to the conversation. Gab, what did we learn about Italy today?
Well, they were already there. They got the win under their belts. I think it was important that they make a lot of changes and really, you know, try to rest the players that they need to rest, try alternate solutions, get Verratti in there. I think we learned that the second 11, if that's what you want to call them, aren't as talented, but then they have less chemistry. But I think that's par for the course, and you're happy. 3 wins out of 3 and through as group winners. I don't think you could ask for much more.
Yeah, Verratti starts the next game.
That is the big conundrum. What do you do? I mean, I think Verratti and Pessina also, I think both of them made a strong case. But my hunch right now is that, you know, depending who the opponent is more likely to keep the starting trio that we saw before. So Jorginho, Locatelli and Barella, maybe Verratti is somebody, you bring in if you need that. I think though, Mancini's very conscious of the fact that really, all 3 of the teams that Italy faced so far were teams that, you know, looked to sit back and defend rather than keep the ball and attack them. I think it would be a different story against opponents like that. And that's who Italy might face in the quarters.
From Mancini's point of view, Don, how much do you learn from these sort of matches?
It's a professional performance, and it was good management as well. You make 8 changes to keep the whole squad happy. You know, someone like Belotti, who got 90 minutes today, he got 90 minutes under his belt. The supporting cast played well, very professional, controlled the game. But I think from Mancini's point of view, he will learn a lot. I think he'll learn a lot in terms of what games maybe might be coming up, which route they're going to take. But I agree with Gab. I think when you're trying to pick their best 11, I think Locatelli has to come into that. I think he scores goals from open play. He offers goals, he offers runs from deep. He's got great legs, he can go box to box. But it's a talented squad that if you're Mancini now, with 8 changes and another win under your belt, you've got some serious options.
And it's nice to have that momentum and those options, Stevie, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. I think from Mancini's point of view, he'll be pleased that although he made 8 changes, this team played and certainly tried to play exactly the same as the previous 2 games. Now, for a coach, that's fantastic, because if somebody goes down, he doesn't even have to think twice. Am I going to he knows he's going to get a similar performance. Now, yes, because it's not your starting 11, there's a little drop in ability. But as far as knowing what you're doing, as far as the energy in the game was exactly the same. So, from Mancini's point of view, this is a great win, obviously, but the way they went about it just means that he knows he can make changes and not a lot is going to change.
It creates a healthy team spirit as well, doesn't it? When you're still winning and you've made that amount of changes.
Right. Nadim, I'm intrigued to know how much you're supporting.
I was wondering why you were coming to me last. But
well,
I get
because
it.
Obviously Mancini ostracised you at Manchester
he
City
did.
When he came in.
He
so
did.
Are you just willing him to fail? Anyone who hits any players?
No, not necessarily, but I can see why he's successful. So I think firstly the fact that he made 8 changes kind of shows that he trusts those players, because I wouldn't really fancy him to make that many.
Right.
But that trust comes from what Steve was alluding to. Tactically, he makes sure every player knows exactly what they have to do. So he can change the bodies around, but his style of play is set in stone. This is how we do things. And as a player, you have to listen to that because there's no other option.
Right.
So, as I say, to see the changes and see the way that they play, there's no surprise. And obviously, there is that extra bit of talent or individual magic that could exist within the starting 11. But like I say, a Mancini team plays in a certain style. It doesn't matter who's in there. You can expect it. And credit to them because it's clearly working. I think they're on a... I think it's 30 games now they've gone unbeaten, which is the record for the nation, so clearly something's working.
But do you want him to lose? Right?
Do I want him to lose?
Yeah.
No, because that means I'm attacking Italy. All I want to know, I want everybody to know, it's not about me. It's not about me. Credit to Italy, and I understand why they're doing well, because tactically he's very, very good.
Oh, no. Oh, too God.
How did that feel?
One more time, Dan.
Eh? Ask me one more
time.
I know, go on. You want him to lose. Revenge. Sweet revenge.
If he's to win, I'd like it to be a bit harder. Let's say that.
Gab, how excited are the Italian fans starting to get with what they're seeing? How is the hype?
I think the hype is sky high. And then there's a little part of me in the back of the mind says, you know, when Italy have done well in tournaments, they very rarely played this well in the group stage. So I'm very cognizant of that. My natural tendency is to see the glass as half full, as half empty rather than half full. That said, you can only beat what's in front of you. People like that. People are entertained by this team. People feel this team is fearless. You look at a guy like Bernardeschi, who, you know, when he plays for Juventus, he's very much an ugly duckling. He plays within himself. He seems scared. He seems frozen. You know, you chuck him into the lineup today, you give him confidence, you tell him what he needs to do, and he does it. I thought he had a very, very good game. It's stuff like that. That's kind of the stardust that Mancini's been able to generate thus far, that kind of secret sauce that you need in the team. And you saw it also in when he sent on Sirigu for Donnarumma at the end, you know, who substitutes their keeper in the 89th minute? Well, a guy who wants to show we really all are a team. That said, as I mentioned before, Italy have played a bunch of teams that had a very clear game plan to not concede. Even Wales today lining up, you know, without Kiefer Moore, without a striker. That's very, very obvious. It's going to be different when, you know, you play teams who are going to keep the ball, who are going to hold the ball, who are going to take the game to you. That's going to be a very different kind of test.
From Wales's perspective, through, second, happy, Don, despite
happy.
His defeat. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think Robert Page will be happy. You know, once they went down to 10 men against the Italians started to create one or two good chances, expected, but he made a positive change. He brought Kiefer Moore on and he dropped Aaron Ramsey from that central position to a little bit deeper. Listen, you never want to take a defeat because it upsets your rhythm, but in the circumstances, going through down to 10 men against Italy, going through the next phase, he will be ecstatic.
We've pretty much praised the officials so far in this tournament overall. Did they get it wrong today with the amplitude red?
I think so, yeah. I think so. I think he is just a fraction late. So it's probably a yellow card, but for him to come with the red, it didn't quite feel right. And it's disappointing for him. I think you could see the shock on his face and some of the Italian players as well as it happened. Like, we know it's a foul. We've all been in that situation where, you know, you think you're going to get there, but you don't.
Yeah.
But there's no malice, there's no whatever going into that. And you can see the shock himself because he looks like he's somebody who's a fair player. And to go through that, he thought he knew it was a foul, but as a red, just seems a bit strong.
You kind of wonder if this referee has been watching what's been going on in the rest of the game, because that challenge, for me, is exactly the same as the yellow Krakowiak got from Poland that he got sent off.
Yeah. Mm.
But it was a second yellow.
Yeah.
So does the referee not understand that everybody else, because they're a group and they want to be a team and they want to all be, you know, talking off the same page, does he not know that it was a yellow before? So why does he give a red? I mean, it makes no sense. So far, the referees absolutely have been fantastic. I think they got pretty much everything right. But that is a huge mistake. And certainly, for the player, it's worse.
Yeah.
Because unless it gets overturned, I don't know the rules. But now, because of one referee who doesn't understand the way this tournament's being refereed, it's going to cost Ampadu possibly a game.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So Italy and Wales both qualify out of Group A, of course. One other match was taking place at the same time, Switzerland against Turkey. Turkey looking for their first point after back-to-back defeats. A victory for Switzerland would certainly keep their hopes alive of qualifying as one of the best third-place placed sides. 6 minutes in, Zverevic makes it 1-0.
It's a good strike, really good strike, but the marking's not great. It doesn't get closed down quick enough, but on his left foot there, Zverevic with a really, really smart finish into the bottom right-hand corner.
20 minutes later, Shaqiri making it 2-0 in style.
Yeah, with the right foot as well. As we saw it go in, I wondered who that was. And then you just see Shaqiri, he's found himself in a great spot, and that's essentially what Liverpool fans would have liked to see a bit more this season. But overall, that's a fantastic finish.
Yeah, lovely finish. Switzerland in complete control of things. However, into the second half we go. 62 minutes on the clock. Kvaratskhelia may make it 2-1, Stevie.
Oh, my. Yeah, it's just individual brilliance, isn't it? Defender, for me, unbalances himself by sticking his hands behind his back. That means the player can get half a yard, and then what a finish, top corner.
But then 6 minutes later, it's a bit special, Don.
Well, I thought it was, actually, but when you see the replay, actually, I think Jan Sommer could have done a little bit better in goal. I think the ball into him is a good one, and then I thought it went into the top corner, but when you see it again, it's actually quite central.
This is going to be the classic of a player showing well in the Euros and getting a good move. That's what's going to happen.
You think so? Yeah. I want to talk about that in a moment, Stevie, as it finishes Switzerland 3, Turkey 1. Just a reminder, ESPN FC on ESPN Plus is presented by AT&T 5G. And let's go straight to that point, Stevie, because you can't go in for a player, can you, off the back of one or two good showings in an international tournament? People know Shaqiri, they know what he can offer. This surely won't change anybody's mind.
Yes, it will.
Why?
Well, because, you know, when you look at a player and you look at his history, we obviously know him at his best. And then you look at what he did last year with Liverpool, not a lot. Then you're going, well, you know what? We know how good he is, but can he still do it? That's basically it. Can he still perform at the highest level? And if you go out and do what Shaqiri did there...
But score a couple of goals against a rubbish Turkey side. That defines your a move.
You could still make a move off it, though.
Hold on a second. These two goals that he scored today are not Ali Moreno 2 yards out tapping in for fun.
Right.
The two goals are complete and utter quality and ability. And he's actually played well in the game so far. So if you're interested in him at all, number one... Is he fit? Is he healthy? Can he get around still? Does he have a little half a yard? Well, right. He's shown that. And then on top of it, he's jammed two goals into the... smashed them into the roof of the net. What else do you need?
Well, why didn't he play for Liverpool more then?
Well, because there was better players in front of him.
Well, everyone was injured.
According to what you're saying, though. According to what you're saying. So he doesn't play for Liverpool. So wouldn't that mean that you need to move anyway?
Yes.
So if you're somebody who's trying to look to see what he's doing, would you not like to see him play for his national
team? But I would like to think that the scouting...
So if you can't see him for Liverpool,
I'd like to think the scouting would be better in that this game wouldn't make them go, oh, you know, we should go out and spend 20 million on
it. But it's a reminder. You want to see how somebody is today.
No, I understand that. I understand that as a little kind of reminder. But it shouldn't be the defining reason why you signed.
And
someone.
Who says that
it's
it is?
Because they score. It's the rhetoric, isn't it? You're in the shop window. This is the opportunity.
He's out of his depth this far.
It's the same rubbish that people come out with about Harry Kane. He's had two bad games and all of a sudden, whoa, who's going to buy him now? you agreed with that statement. Now you're completely going the opposite way and trying to be clever and saying,
I'm not trying
why
to be
would
clever.
You buy, why
I'm
would
just,
you buy
I'm
a
just
player?
Suggesting that you would imagine that people were more thorough in making signings than one good showing.
If you can get a game for one of the best teams in the world, right, doesn't mean you're rubbish.
Right.
Exactly. Right?
Yes.
Exactly.
And so you haven't played, so people want to see you playing. Okay, I'm interested in this guy.
Yeah.
I like his ability.
Right.
He would fit into our plans.
Yeah.
But is he still sharp? Is he still fit? Can he still play at a high level? And you go out in the Euros and score two goals like that.
Right.
And you're not convinced that he can still play at a high level.
Well, then you could argue, you didn't turn up in the other two games, did you? So you're defining it on literally these 90 minutes. This is going to be your gamble, isn't
because
it?
Because he didn't score.
He didn't show up, did he?
He didn't turn up.
How did he do in the first game? Tell me about it.
He didn't do anything, did he?
Okay.
How do you know?
Okay. Let's go back to Harry Kane. You agreed with us that Harry Kane can't do anything unless he gets service, right?
Dan is clutching.
And Shaqiri never got any service.
You are clutching.
Today he got service and look what he did.
Gab?
I don't know if I should give you a serious answer, which is that the reason Shaqiri didn't play a lot this year is because he had injuries and he had better players around him, like Diogo Jota, and the bar is very high at Liverpool, like Stevie said. You're right. People need to scout Shaqiri and make up their own mind, and they've scouted him throughout this tournament and seen that he still has personality and he can still finish, and, you know, he's still on big salary, which is going to put people off, but... Certainly this performance can't hurt him, Dan. I mean, I don't know what you're arguing.
Gab, he's a punter.
He's a punter, yeah.
It's Sunday. It's been a long day.
Meanwhile, let's very much quickly change the subject to Gab Marcotti saying that Turkey was his dark horses going into this tournament.
Oh, wow. You wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, when facts change, opinions change, Dan. That's generally the way it works. I think this is a talented side that, you know, clearly punched way beneath their weight. I think they're the second most talented side in this group. And I don't know if their approach against Italy in the first game, if that set the tone for the second game, but I thought they were awful against Wales. And then, you know, they had the head-to-head and they were able to do it. And they were in a hole and they couldn't get out of it. But, I still think these are some very good players who simply didn't perform. And I think Senol Gunas is going to get a really, really rough ride when he goes home.
Let's just remind you then how Group A finishes. As we mentioned, the top two qualify, Italy and Wales. Switzerland will have to wait, won't they, to see how the other groups finish. But they would fancy their chances, currently sitting on 4 points with that -1 goal difference. Let's get some more reaction, shall we, to Italy's win against Wales. This is what Chiesa had to say after the match.
Your first start in the tournament and already start of the match. Congratulations.
No, thank you very much, but it was a great team performance. We're playing really well, we are a great team, and we're having a lot of fun playing. So I think all the players who have played today played greatly.
You created a lot of trouble to their defense with your runs. Only the goal was missing today.
Yeah, unfortunately, I got saved on the line by some Welsh player, but it's okay like this. I'm happy with my performance, I'm happy with the performance of the team.
Three games, three victory, no goals conceded, a great run in the group stage, no?
Yeah, as I said before, we're playing really well. We have a great commitment, we play all together, and it is really great to be here and to play these Euros with this Italian team, thanks to the coach, and now we hope to go through.
Now travel to London with a bag full of enthusiasm.
Yeah, with a lot of enthusiasm. I mean, it's going to be great, it's going to be great, for real. We're just living the moment.
Okay, so how come his English is so good, Gab?
I can only guess, since his father was a highly paid professional footballer. He had the benefit of growing up privileged and learning foreign languages. But I have to tell you, I had no idea I knew he spoke English, but I had no idea it was quite this good. In fact, dare I say, except for except for Jorginho and Emerson, who obviously live in England.
Yeah.
His is probably the best English on this Italian national team.
Gab, probably fair to say that he didn't do enough today to convince Mancini that he should be starting in the next game. Fair?
I mean, he didn't have the sort of, you know, performance where, you know, you go out there and you absolutely create a problem for Mancini. But I think he did enough with his directness. That's something that Mancini really likes on paper. He's the obvious alternative to Berardi. He's also quite direct. But remember, Chiesa can play on either flank. And Insigne, certainly in the second game, I thought was perhaps struggling a little bit. So I do think he's given Mancini something to think about. I think after the Verratti question and after the issue of whether Chiellini's going to be fit or whether we'll see a Chad begin at the back, I think that could be the third one where maybe Mancini's got something to think about. You know, do I start Chiesa ahead of Insigne? But for me right now, Insigne's still favoured.
So that's Group A, done and dusted. Italy will then play the runners-up of Group C. They're in action on Monday. It's Ukraine against Austria. Meanwhile, North Macedonia take on the Dutch. Meanwhile, in Group B, it's all to play for, isn't it, as Russia take on Denmark. Meanwhile, in the other tie, it's Finland against Belgium.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
We go from that to Tottenham. what a farce it has been. And what's it, 62 days since they sacked Jose Mourinho, and it seems they are no closer to getting a new coach. Just take us into, Gab, what has happened over the last week regarding Gattuso link and, of course, that then not happening.
Well, you need to go further back to, obviously, Fonseca. Fonseca had met with the club before Fabio Paratici was even appointed as director of football on Thursday morning. You know, he was sent a copy of the contract. They were almost there. They only had a couple details to get ironed out. And then all of a sudden, in the afternoon, mid-afternoon, around 3 o'clock, the club notifying him, everything's on hold, everything's off, and they veered towards Rino Gattuso, who less than 24 hours earlier, of course you remember Gattuso had already agreed terms with Fiorentina. They had signed contracts. They hadn't deposited the contracts yet because he wasn't actually freed from his old contract at Napoli until June 30th. All of a sudden, Fiorentina come out and say, no, this deal is off, ostensibly because Gattuso's agent, George Mendes, wanted too much of a say in their transfer dealings. So Paratici seems to bring Gattuso in North London. And then there's a strong response from the fans who do not want Gattuso for a whole host of reasons. To what degree that actually played into Daniel Levy's decision, I think it's tough to tell from the outside. But yeah, now Gattuso no longer in play.
Right, Nathan, you're Daniel Levy. Who do you get?
Oh, my goodness gracious me. I wasn't ready for that. I don't know. I think it's a tough club to be in charge of because there's so much expectation, but they don't really have the recent history to be able to back it up. And when you're hearing that maybe Kane's going to be leaving and stuff like that, you know, it seems like there's going to be a period of discontent at the club. So you need somebody who's probably got thick skin, somebody who's probably not going to make you pay too much money, but then ultimately they can maybe handle disappointment because it seems like it's going to cost a lot of money to become competitive again. So right now, I think if you sent in your resume, I'd have to consider it. That's
really?
My take. Yeah.
You think
that's,
so?
Yeah, that's right.
I'd get Shaqiri in, Bosch, first signing.
Well, you see how good he is, see how well he's playing.
On the strength of what?
Be a young manager.
Someone who wants to prove themselves.
It's a young manager who's
Graham Potter,
who's scared of nothing. Yeah, I would think Graham Potter would be perfect, the way his team plays. But any experienced manager, well, that list tells you all you need to know. There's something wrong.
Right.
Something smells. an experienced manager wants nothing to do with it. Has to be an up-and-coming guy who's gung-ho, who just wants the opportunity, who still remembers the history of Tottenham and what they really are. That's your answer, not an experienced guy.
Tottenham in a lot of trouble at the moment. So are Barcelona. Their financials, we know, do not read well. This is what Joan Laporta had to say, the Barca president. The club's in a worse state than I expected, and I know I was coming into a difficult situation. Between salaries and the big word, it's about 650 million euros, which is more than the club's revenue. These salaries are out of step with the current market. So what do they do, Barcelona? Well, they bring in Depay, they bring in Kun Aguero. They are still set to announce whether or not Lionel Messi is going to stay. Gab, this doesn't look tenable.
Well, yeah, look, they bring in Aguero and Depay on free transfers. That would be their argument. Certainly, it's not tenable. You need to raise some money through sales. You guys have been through the list of how many bodies they have in the front three, but forget Messi, leave him to one side. But in addition to the two that you already mentioned, you're also talking Trincao, you're talking Braithwaite, you're talking Griezmann, you're talking Ansu Fati, you're talking Dembele, you're talking Coutinho. You know, you're only going to play with three dudes up front, you know. What do the other guys do? And you can say, well, I'm going to sell them, but they're all on enormous money, most of them. Yeah. So they're really difficult to sell. Their most saleable assets are probably, you know, Trincao, something like Ansu Fati, but he's coming off an injury, and you don't want to sell him anyway. So it's a really, really tough spot that they're in. And I don't know how you get out of it other than persuading Messi to take an enormous pay cut. To return for the love of the club, because that's the game changer. That number you mentioned, which I don't personally believe, but you know, 1/6 of that is Lionel Messi's salary, right? So that is the big game changer here.
So if you play devil's advocate in this situation, Don, I could say, look, you're Lionel Messi.
Hmm?
You bleed this club. You want this club to be a success.
Yep.
If it is going to do that, you have to take a huge pay cut.
And I think he might, the new president coming in, who he's worked under before. I think what I see there with Barcelona, there has to be mass sales. The three players that come to mind would be Coutinho, Dembele's got one more left on his contract, in Braithwaite.
But going back to my original point, if you're a player of Messi's stature,
yeah,
would you be comfortable taking a pay cut for the good of the club?
I think you would.
But would you not be going, you're the ones who got in this situation in the first place. You're the people who spent all this money on all these different players, overpaying them, and now you want me to bail you out? That's not my responsibility.
No, it's not his responsibility. No, I agree with you, but he obviously loves the football club, doesn't he? He's been there for an awful long time. He's the only club he's ever been at since he was about 13, 14. So it's a test for him. It's a test whether someone like Man City or PSG or someone else goes, we will match your wages or a little bit more. But I think if you're pulling on his heartstrings and the owner, president, convinces him that they've got a chance of winning it next season and they're going to improve, he might just sign a new deal.
Am I being cynical here?
I kind of see where you're coming from, because say he does take that pay cut and they're worse off next season, then what's he going to be looking at in terms of his options?
But he'll be looking at Aguero, he'll be looking at Depay coming in. He might think there's a bit of excitement.
Mm. I don't know. I feel like within those sort of top two, Ronaldo, Messi and so on, the talk has never been about taking pay cuts, you know, especially something which is to sort of half your money. You could maybe try and turn it into something else and have this option or that option or have this here, have that there. But I don't know. We're talking
dare
about...
Dare say he can pull some revenue in, though.
Yeah.
But
we're talking...
This is a guy. This is a guy, right, who got absolutely stabbed in the back by the club. Yep. Not that long ago.
A different president, though, to be fair. You could argue that. There's a new board, there are new people in charge.
I don't see why he should. I don't see why he would. If it's me, the first thing that comes to my mind is, hold on a second, this is the club, whether it's a new president, an old president, this is a club that absolutely made a mug of me, who stabbed me in the back. Now, it's the shoe's on the other foot, and they want me to take a huge pay cut. I'm sorry.
Is that what you think? That's what they want? You think they do want him to take a pay cut? Because I don't think they'll even ask him the question. Because I think that probably sets the ball.
If they do, and you know, Dan's question is, would you?
You think it comes down to money, though, Stevie?
He should tell them, where you know where to go.
Do you think it comes down to money, Stevie? When you've got enough money, as Messi obviously has,
I think it comes.
Does it come down to that?
I would think it would come down to the fact that they stabbed them in the back. That definitely comes into it.
Quickly, Gab.
I just want to say, I would hope that if they committed all this money to Sergio Aguero, who's Messi's friend, it's because they know something and they have something up their sleeve, and they did that because they're confident that it'll swing the needle to keeping Lionel Messi. Otherwise, bringing in Aguero makes zero sense.
Let's go back to the Euros for a moment, Gab. Robin Gosens putting in one of the best individual performances we've seen in the tournament so far. Obviously, you follow Atalanta a lot. We know the potential that he has. Is this the start of a transfer scramble, maybe to a bigger club for him?
It's an interesting question. I mean, I have a piece on this up on the website, as you know, Dan. Gosens was phenomenal. He scored 19 league goals in the last two seasons from wing back. It's tremendous. The one thing I would say is ordinarily people were talking about Atalanta would be happy to get 40 million for him, and maybe now his prices doubled or whatnot. The tricky thing is he is very much a wing back. He would have to go to a top club that could afford that kind of money, and you know that plays three in the back and plays with wing backs. And the problem is there aren't many clubs who fit that bill. You know, Chelsea obviously one of them, but of course, you know, they just spent 80 million on Chilwell. They still have Alonso and Emerson lying around. There aren't too many obvious other places out there. Barcelona, but I've played three at the back occasionally, but we know their situation. So the weird thing is he may well end up playing because he's just not comfortable playing in a flat back four. He's never done it well. So, it's one of those unusual things where he may end up staying in Bergamo, which, hey, suit Atalanta just fine. Champions League football. How about that?
Meanwhile, interesting reading some of the press in England over the last 48 hours, gentlemen, linking Rafael Varane to Manchester United. Does this make any sense to you?
Yes, absolutely. I think he's better than Lindelof. I think the worrying thing is that Varane's coming off a season where he made a lot of high-profile mistakes. And you wonder whether his last season an indicator that he's beginning to drop a little bit. That would be my worry. Spending a lot, because it's going to be a lot of money.
Right.
Spending a lot of money on a guy who actually maybe, for his age, pretty early going the other way. That's the first thing that would cross my mind.
My question would be, Gab, why would Real Madrid want to let him go?
So Varane has indicated in the past that you know, he's been in Real Madrid a long time. He'd like to try his hand elsewhere. He has a year left on his contract. He's going to be a free agent in 2022. So it is the classic situation where you either extend his deal or you sell him. Otherwise, you risk losing him on a free a year from now. He's been linked to United in the past. But I think this is something that we're seeing around Europe. There's so many players out there, like Paul Pogba, for example, or Kylian Mbappe, who are just 1 year away from free agency, and their clubs are in that tricky situation. You know, do we extend them or do we sell them? For the kind of money that I think Real Madrid would want, I think it would still be north of 50 million. You know, United can afford that, but then they would need to work out his wages. I don't know. It's a tricky one. I think he has a ton of leverage right now in his negotiations, both with Real Madrid or indeed with any club that wants to sign him.
Good stuff as always, Gab. The latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Look how excited Jules is about the news that it will drop on Monday. You can always check that out over on the website.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That is it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Stay tuned. The boys, excited.
What do you think of Shaqiri, Dan?
Say again?
What do you think of Shaqiri?
What? Stay tuned. Extra time's next. Welcome into the latest edition then of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Nader.
Hello.
Have you ever received a red card for a challenge like Ampadu against Italy? What goes through a player's mind when he feels unfairly sent off?
Well, it's funny you should say that. I do have a story for that.
Settle down, everyone.
Everybody, grab a seat, grab a drink.
Hold on a minute.
I believe it was 2006, I think it was. And I was up for a set piece, and I was hanging around the back post. And then a ball came to me, and I thought, here's my big chance to score.
Right.
Took a touch, heaviest touch you've ever seen in your life. Okay. So I'm thinking, oh my God, what have I done here? So I went in, tried to dink it over the keeper, because we were coming in together. Tried to dink it over him, didn't quite dink it over him, pulled my leg away as I did so. Next thing, I'm standing up devastated that I've not scored. I thought, what a bad touch that was. And the referee came over and gave me a red card. So I was thinking, what's happened there? The goalkeeper had actually broken his leg, but when you look at the video, because it got rescinded straight after, I literally went, tried to flick it, pulled away, and just the fact that our bodies came together,
right,
it meant that he hurt himself, so it was a shame that he hurt himself. But I got a red card for it, and in the time I didn't even realise I'd made a tackle or whatever, but that's the definition of touch tackle, and I got a red card for it, and I was devastated.
Broke his leg, red card.
Yeah.
But you see...
I know you're a
dirty.
Listen, no. I can't help it, I made a vibranium, that's my fault.
Did you apologise afterwards for breaking his leg?
He was raging with me, but I didn't understand why, and then I saw the video back, and I was like, well, I still don't really understand why, but I'm sorry that you've broken your leg.
So did you say that to him?
Well, it turned out that Kasper Schmeichel, I think he was on loan at Doncaster at the time.
Okay.
So we were sort of speaking through there. But I think he's okay now and he understands.
So that's a no then.
So who is this goalkeeper?
He's all right now, he's retired, he's moved on. He's moved on, we've both moved on. The goalkeeper for Doncaster, 2005.
Do you not remember his name?
I don't know.
He broke his leg. And then you don't remember his name?
His leg broke. I didn't break his leg. His leg broke.
How many red cards did you have in your career?
I think it sits at three.
Three?
Yeah.
Higher or lower?
Six. Higher.
Don.
Good ones as well.
Naughty.
Yeah, good ones. If I'm getting sent off, I'm going all in. No prisoners.
Stevie?
Zero.
It's zero.
Oh, better than Ramos over there, look.
Well...
Better than Ramos?
Yeah, I'm only 26 behind Ramos.
If there was VAR, Stephen.
That may be a different ballgame.
Yes. FA Cup final.
Yeah. Which one do you mean?
Did you try and kick the Everton player who scored?
Oh, McCall, he did. I had a swing at him.
Yes.
Fortunately, the timing was slightly off.
Oh, dirty.
Yeah. I'm hearing Andy Warrington. Ring any bells?
Yeah, Andy Warrington.
No, he doesn't have a clue. Andy That's
made up, mate. I remember Andy Warrington, yes, I remember.
What do coaches say to players after receiving a silly red card? What did you used to say, Stevie? I imagine you must have seen a few Revs players sent off.
You blank them. Say nothing is the worst.
Oh, so you kind of send... You just ignore them.
That tells them everything they need to know. The silent treatment. Don't even look at them.
Okay.
Have nothing to do with them.
Okay.
God, be buzzing with that. I managed to want to rip my head off. Be buzzing with the silent treatment.
What was the worst?
Well, that's too quick.
What?
That's too quick.
No, but you know it's coming. When you're sat in the dressing room, the game's going on, and you get a feel for what the scoreline's going to be, and you've let your side down, you know the manager is going to go ballistic.
So who was the
next? Graham Souness.
So how much is he? Is he in your face? Yeah. Is he spitting? Is he angry?
All of that, angry, let the side down, you're a disgrace.
See, my natural reaction then would be to cry.
You've got to take it on the chin.
I can believe that 100%.
That's too easy.
No, with managers like Graham Souness, you've got to take it on the chin and you've got to respond. If you cry, that is you.
What do you mean respond? You'll say...
No, respond as in
and take it all on the chin
right,
and respond.
Don't say anything.
Don't say anything. You've got no legs whatsoever.
Right.
You can't say anything.
So Stevie's obviously...
Take it on the chin.
He wants you to suffer.
He wants you to suffer.
Worry about it for the next 2 or 3 days.
Absolutely. And then he'll probably hammer you in the press, let the side down.
No, right. But Stevie's silent treatment, would not that be worse?
No! No, not at all. You want a manager to absolutely give you it because you've let the side down.
But what about when you found...
Just listen to what he just said there.
Yeah.
No.
You want a manager to give you.
No,
it's overdone and dusty.
No, I take that back.
You said it.
You said it. You got what you wanted.
What
I meant was, sitting here now, if it happened, you want a manager to go ballistic. Sitting here now, I'm saying if this scenario happens, I want the manager to go ballistic. The easiest thing for me was the manager coming in and not even saying a word to me. I'm thinking, it's a bit weird. The manager goes mental
at
me.
Worried, then. It's like if you've had an argument with your wife or she's found out something and then it's like silence.
Hey, call the Coast Guard. This guy's on an island. Can you come in? Somebody here needs picked up.
Do you think I had a nice time, Graham Souness, there, giving me everything
he's
got? As you
say, it's 30 seconds of horribleness, but then you know it's going to be okay.
It's not, because then you've got to respond in the coming days when he blanks you for the next few days.
Oh, so it's a shouting, blanking.
Oh, it's funny how he's taking him 5 minutes to throw blanking in.
Hey. What do you think he's going to be up here on a Monday morning?
Made it when you were going around breaking people's legs?
No. So that, with that one, like, it was basically rescinded as soon as the game was finished. But there was one which was a bit of a sticky one. So it was Ian Holloway, who was my manager.
Okay.
And we were away at Hull, this when I was at QPR. And one of our we were getting battered. One of our players put in quite a bad tackle on someone. And then three of their players all gathered round him, started pushing him about.
Standard.
So before that, I was just like, whatever, it's a free kick, stupid. But when they started grabbing him, I ran over. One of the guys who was grabbing him, I came and I stuck my shoulder into his chest, and he was like that, went rocking. The referee came over, gave me a red card. So I went into the dressing room afterwards, and like, it was an interesting one because at first I didn't think it was a red card, but he didn't give me grief because I was the only person that stood up for the player who was getting mauled or whatever by the opposition.
Okay.
But in the same breath, it was still a red card.
Right.
And then the club, they fined me a significant amount of money. But I said, well, do you want us to stick up for each other or do you not?
Okay.
Oh.
See, that's the
Paul, there are times when the manager's absolutely on your side. Paul Walsh,
right,
who played for us, we were at Southampton. And a guy called Kevin Bond.
Yeah.
So before there was all the cameras and the VAR and the whole thing, playing away the game, next minute, Bond's down. And Walsh is walking off. Didn't even wait for the referee.
Right.
So Bond had spat on him. He'd walked past him and spat on him.
No.
So Walsh is just automatically. Now Walsh is 5 foot nothing. And Bond is 6 foot.
Yeah.
He just smashed him right in the chin and walked off.
That was it. Because it was spitting, you were almost giving a pass.
Got an hard time.
So what did Kenny do?
Kenny said to him, right, come on. And Walsh went, he spat straight in my face. Kenny went, all
right. That's it. Which player has raised their transfer stock the most so far in the Euros?
Me. Come to me.
Shaqiri.
Yes, you're beauty.
Their chances of getting a summer move.
Shaqiri. He's off to Galatasaray for £1 million.
And ever, we're going to be together. All the girls and you.
Wait, don't sing too much.
Oh, no, that's
pay royalties on it.
Oh, sorry, what was he singing?
I got the wrong Shaqiri.
I bet you Galatasaray comes straight in. £30 million.
Shaqiri. Shaqiri's risen his stock the most.
Absolutely. You know it.
I'd say Dumfries for Holland with
Dumfries,
two goals so far.
Yeah. Goosens as well. Lowered their stock. Harry Kane, you were saying on the show, Stevie, you thought it's... Imposing your identity as a coach of a national side is more difficult than when coaching a club side. Who do the boys think is the most well-managed coach side at the Euros? It's got to be Italy, isn't it? With your old boy Mancini.
My old boy.
Did he ever say to you, I don't like you because?
No, it's just clearly he didn't like me, but he didn't like many people though. But he just treats certain people differently than others.
But he just literally, but how did you know you're going to train with the kids?
How did I know?
Yeah.
Haven't I told you a story?
No.
So we looks spoke... a story to tell,
listen. Come on. God, let me tell you this one. Get another drink.
We get so ready.
So we were supposed to be starting pre-season on the Monday.
Okay.
Don't even set the alarm for me.
And then on the Saturday afternoon, I got a text message from the secretary at Man City, and she said, "Oh, you know, pre-season starts on the following Saturday, not Monday now. I was like, oh, cool, more time off.
Right.
To which I then text Micah Richards and he said, oh, no, we start on Monday. So they trained Monday through Friday, left on Friday to go to the USA. And then myself and a few others, like Adebayo and so on, we came in on a Saturday. We were training with the under-16s.
Wow.
So that's how you
So who was in the naughty group? You, Adebayor?
Craig Bellamy, Wayne Bridge.
Wow. Some characters there, by the way.
It was a very interesting time, let's just say.
You've had that as well?
I've had that with Walter Smith when I wouldn't sign a new deal at Everton. He gave me two choices. Train at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
When the first team have gone.
Okay.
Or train with the kids. I came in at 2 o'clock every afternoon for about a month.
Let me accentuate that story for you then.
Go on.
So, we were training with the kids, and then when they came back from America... listen, I understand. I need closure.
I need a blanket.
So we were training with the kids the same time the first team were when they came back from the US, but Mancini didn't want us there. So in the end, we ended up training at 3 o'clock with the kids. And he said that was the last time, that was the time we had to be in because he didn't want us to even see any first team.
Horrible, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow,
horrible.
Like, you had a choice. We had no choice. We were just being pushed further and further and further to the side. And, yeah. You know, it's tough. How'd you get over that?
Wow. You're still getting paid, though.
So that's all it's about, money?
Well, I'm just saying. That's all right.
Well, clearly we know why you're here.
Hey, that is a complete punter's answer.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Unbelievable. He's one of them.
Stevie said yesterday the game has gotten softer, but he's happy to see the criminally dangerous tackles go away from the game. If he were the head of all refereeing, how would he change the game to discourage throwing yourself onto the ground?
Yellow card them, Stevie.
Absolutely, yeah. Yellow card them, fine them. I mean... yeah, every time somebody does it, there has to be a severe punishment.
Right.
How severe, I can't just pull it off the top of my head, but, you know, I would probably say a suspension, because at the end of the day, that's then going to affect the coach and the rest of the team. And so if you're getting suspended for just throwing yourself, the coach is, if I'm the coach, I'm going, great, by the way, you do that again, you're costing us. You're affecting us. The whole team.
Training with kids.
The whole unit. Yep. Oh, if you want.
That's it.
If the referee goes, I see what you're doing there. One more of them, you get the yellow card. You don't do it again. You don't go down as easy.
But the problem is the risk and reward, isn't it?
No, but the...
If I go down, I trick the referee, it's a penalty. If I don't, it's the yellow card.
If the referees communicate with you, no, I'm not talking inside the 18-yard box. I'm talking general player when you see players under... That's what annoys me when I see players under pressure and they either don't back themselves to get out of it with a little bit of skill. They just wait, slow down, wait for someone to get next to them, fall on the floor, buy a free kick.
It'll be interesting to see what happens when all the domestic leagues start up again. Because what we've seen in the Euros so far is people going down with what Don's talking about, just waiting for a little touch and not getting anything. And on the field, nobody's been complaining about it. Mm. Now, if the referees can all take that home with them, And all the domestic refereeing associations can sort it out and say, right, we need to do this as well, then we might get back to some sort of sensible situation where, you know, there's a level of being able to shove or push somebody without just falling over with a little tip of the finger.
Hi, Nadim.
Hi.
With reports of Manchester City possibly smashing their transfer record to get Grealish, should Pep prioritise Grealish or Kane, considering Pep prefers playing without a striker? Is Grealish the better option for City?
I don't think Pep has always preferred playing without a striker. That's the first thing. I think if Aguero was more fit in this last season, maybe he would have played more. I don't think he's necessarily Pep's favourite player, but I still think he would have played more. But I don't know. I think Grealish is an exceptional talent. A lot of people who've played with him say he is really, really that good. But in terms of priorities, I don't know. I think the aim is to get both. I think if they don't get both, if they don't get a striker and a Grealish or whatever, then I think they've probably failed in a transfer.
If you had to get one?
Without selling anybody on?
Kane or Grealish. Nadim, who should I get?
Without selling anybody on at all.
He says Pep.
For me, it's got to be a striker. It's got to be Kane, man.
Which manager or coach has been the greatest father figure for Stevie, Nadim and Don? Happy Father's Day to all. Happy Father's Day, of course, to all the fathers watching.
Easy. Howard Kendall.
Right.
Had him twice. Had him at Sheffield United and Everton.
And in what way did he fill that role?
Every sense of the way. The way he managed you, the way he coached you, the way he was off the pitch.
Right.
Very friendly. His door was always open. We became really good mates. He was one I really looked up to, and I went to his funeral many years ago, and it was quite sad.
Of course.
But brilliant guy. Yeah.
Nathan, Mancini?
Well, it's funny to say that. If you said father-in-law, I'd say Mancini, yeah, 100%. But in terms of like a father figure, I'd probably say Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink.
So, really?
So having grown up watching him and stuff like that, you know, I liked the way he played and all that stuff. And then when he came to QPR, you know, this is a guy who used to watch. But right. Then his personality was great. He's a really, really nice, humble guy, but he had a little bit of an edge to him. And I really liked that, and it clicked with him. And I still speak to him today, so I'd probably say him, yeah.
Xhaka always says about him that off the pitch he was great, but he crossed the line and he was just
different,
horrible.
Different beast, yeah. When you see that other side of him, like I know his backstory, so I know where it comes from.
Right.
And he's had an interesting journey to get to where he is. And I think that kind of makes it relatable in some ways to me. And I, like, as I say, I really liked him. He's a tough guy, but you know, he likes to laugh and a joke as well.
Stevie?
Probably Dalglish.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, as a kid going in, there was the three jocks that looked after me, Tui, Hansen, Dalglish. But then, of course, Kenny became the manager and did the same thing. Slaughtered me a couple of occasions.
Yeah.
But was also there for other stuff other than football as well. So, yeah, Kenny.
Since it's Father's Day, what's the best gift you've ever received from your kids or the best gift you've given to your father? Goodness me.
Dear me.
Did you ever receive a gift from your kids with good intentions, but it ended up being a disaster?
Can't
even. Wow, that's a tricky one.
I can't even think.
Yeah?
No, my dad wasn't a presents man. He was a miner. He was hard as nails.
Yeah.
No presents there. Not bothered. And a BMX or a football, that was me good. That was my whole teens good. Twin boys who were five. Probably get a card in the next few days.
Yeah.
But nah, zilch. No, not bothered.
My wife got me a tie rack once. I haven't worn a tie in years.
Oh, you're not her dad, are you?
Pardon? No, but you know, from the kids, Father's Day.
No,
I'm not Stevie. No, that would be a lot of issues involved in that. Stevie, it can't be many.
No, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
All this start. When did this all start?
She could get you some new tyres down for your car.
Because growing up,
his car, by the way,
there was no such thing.
Bumper, have you been in his car lately?
No, why would he? Other people have cars.
Zero tyres on his zero tread.
It's fine.
Hey, instead, him, maybe a policeman watch.
It's called flicks, aren't they?
It's massive. Massive tread. I'm talking rubbish.
We'll go to the database, get Dan's number, and go, right, here they come. There's an APB. There's an APB on Dan Thomas.
Unpopular opinion. Cards. I don't love cards. So when the kids get me stuff or they make them, like, it's nice, but now I've just got a stack of cards which I've made across the years, which, like, you can't really get rid of.
How dare they make you a card?
No, you can't really. I know. Like, wow. I love them for it, but
just,
I don't
just
really.
Just give me a card again.
Don't really know what to do with them.
The cards are beautiful. I love you, Daddy. Please don't break my legs.
Yeah, no, I like, you know, I love my kids and all that stuff, and it's sweet.
I love my kids and all that stuff, but don't bother with cards.
Yeah, his kids.
If I never received the card again, I wouldn't be bothered.
That's he's my ruthless, take. Isn't he?
That's my
breaks
that's my
legs,
take.
Hates kids.
I see no lies.
What's more likely before the Euros? Del Piero golfing with Craig or Nadim and Dan hanging out together?
What was the first one?
Del Piero and Craig golfing together. They were talking about
they
it.
They were actually, weren't they? Yeah.
I think we
used to would be good. Used to be a good combo.
I think we'd hang out. That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, be more excited.
Text me.
Be more excited about that. Final question: why has Nadim not punched Dan yet?
Wow! Off the back of the question before.
He's too busy showing his children.
It's because we work for Disney. You know what I mean? We couldn't possibly do such a thing.
No, of course.
You two have got a good little relationship going on. Love hate, haven't you?
I don't know, I just love.
I think it stems from the big man, to be fair.
Oh, yes, I don't think there's love from that side.
I think you're okay.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. You back tomorrow, Nathan?
Probably.
What? What are you going to be doing?
Probably.
2 days. Turn up late.
No, probably.
Enthusiasm is rolling. Wow.
Stevie and John, you'll be here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes, excellent. Be sure to join us tomorrow. Of course, more Euro chat to come.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.